Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
I prayed real hard last night. In fact, I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning and I prayed. Then I woke back up again about 4 o'clock, I guess it was, something like that. And I prayed again. And I'll pray again in just a few minutes, but I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation this morning. This is Father's Day as far as the government of this land is concerned. And you know, I had a great daddy. I'll never have called him Father because I just don't believe in that. I believe that we got one Father, and that's Jesus. Amen. But since the government put it to being, then we'll just say Happy Father's Day to Brother Bill. And I'm sure that you probably have some relationship with your father or your dad. I'm going to just say that, and I'm going to quit saying father. I mean, not father, but Father's Day, okay? Because every day is Father's Day.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our Father. And there is only one King, and there's only one Father. And it's Jesus. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Revelation chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 1 down through verse maybe 8. Then I'm going to try to bring you a message along the thoughts of fathers. Okay? He is my Father. I'll say that again. All right. Here it is right here. Greetings to the seven churches. But we're going to just give you an introduction here on that. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. The old devil fights everywhere he can because you know what? He knows that he don't have much longer. And I praise the Lord for that. I tell you, I'm looking forward to going home, aren't you? I love that song that Sister Nancy just sung. So I couldn't call my name sometimes, really. Honest, I can't, you know. But let's go back and start over. Maybe start in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which were before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Father, we come to you today. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our Savior. You're our Father, Lord, and you are our Master. And we thank you for everything you do for us today, Lord. I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit today, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll drive back the opposing powers of the devil this morning, Lord. I know that he tries to do his best to tear up everything that you have done, Lord. But I know that he can't do it. He can't do it unless we ourselves let him do it. And Lord, I know that I want to honor you this morning, Lord, because it is your day. Thank you for this being your day, and not only this day, but every day of the week, every day of the month, every day of the year is your day. Thank you for being King of kings and Lord of lords. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless each one here today, Lord. I pray that you, Lord, just lift them up in the faith, Lord. We know that there's things happening every day, Lord, that we don't understand sometimes, but we understand, Lord, that you're still on the throne, and we thank you for that, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, everyone that has problems today, Lord, we pray health problems and all these other things that are coming along on us, Lord, we pray that you just touch us and, Lord, heal. And if it's in the center of your will to do so, Lord, thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I praise the Lord today as I try to do every day of my life. I believe that that's one of the ways to start out our day. I try to when I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for me. And surely I am thankful for what God has done for me. I praise the Lord for what he's done for me. And I know that he has brought me a long ways. But yet, with my, you know, being age I am, there's some things that I don't remember like I used to. There's things that happens in our lives that didn't used to happen. And you know, it's just because they say because it's age, but I'm not getting any older, I'm getting closer home. And surely Jesus Christ could call us home at any time. You know, for he shall be king in my life, and he is king in my life. Jesus is willing to be king in our life, is he not? Jesus wants to be the Lord of our life. He left heaven to come to earth to be your Lord. Romans 8, chapter 3, and I'm going to be using a lot of scriptures today probably, but in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, it says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sin, sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You see, he lived perfection to come to this old sin-sick world, this sin-cursed world, to become your Lord and my Lord. Thank God for that. He lived perfection for that. He didn't give up his perfection because he's always been perfect and he always will be perfect, but he lived perfection to come to the sin-cursed world. He left the fellowship of the Father to come and to be your Lord and my Lord. He left also, he's willing to be your king. Jesus is waiting to be our king, is he not? Surely is. That's one of the things he would like for us to let him be. So many times we turn our back on him. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Isn't it wonderful to have a Savior? Isn't it wonderful to have a Father like him? Jesus, sure it is. Now don't be too proud when the King and Lord of Lords come knocking on our heart's door. Let's don't do that. Pride comes before fall, does it not? Sure it does. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, the Bible said, do you not know that They which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. You know what? We ought to have an altar in our home. We ought to have an altar everywhere that we go. And I was just thinking a while ago, we need to pray more in our lives. Our prayer life is our church life. Our prayer life is our everyday life. And so we ought to pray more. We ought to be on that altar. We ought to have an altar somewhere. And we ought to wait at the altar for the Lord Jesus Christ to hear and answer our prayer. Sometimes we, you know, have an altar in the home, and we'll read a little while the Word of God, then we'll pray a few words, and then get up and go about our business. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to have Jesus in our heart and our life and in our thoughts at all times. You say, well, how can I be of any earthly good if I'm going to be a heavenly person to, you know, always be doing things and thinking about the heavenly things? God can take care of that. He will take care of it. It will turn it all over to Him. That's what's wrong in days now, and people just don't want to turn the things over to the Lord that they need to turn over to the Lord. Now, He could do something for it anyway if He wanted to, but He wants us to ask Him and have a fellowship with Him. You see, He left perfection. He left the fellowship of the Father to come and be our Lord. Now, why can't we be His child and have fellowship with Him? We should. He ought to be our Father. Can you remember your dads? Most of you, Dad probably did, if not all of them. And you know, we had fellowship with them, didn't we? I did with mine. I won't ever forget one day. I had a little bit of problem with whether he was saved or not. We had been on a boat fishing. I loved to go fishing with him. He knew how to fish. He didn't go many times he didn't catch something. He might have caught a cold, but he caught something. No, I'm just kidding. But he did. He caught fish most of the time, if not all the time. So we go fishing, and then I come back. We come back home one day, and we're sitting in the truck. And he was fixing to get out, and I said, Dad, I had to ask you something. I said it quick so, you know, he wouldn't have a chance to, if he didn't want to talk to me. He said, okay. I said, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? He said, yes. He said, everything's all right with me, between me and the Lord. I thought I was going to shout out of that truck. It's wonderful to know. And I knew that, you know, he was a good daddy. He provided for us, yes. He loved us, but he never told us that too much because he's not like I am. I must have took after my mom, and then I thought, you know, she didn't have a lot to say a whole lot of times either. Let me just share a few things with you about my childhood. You don't mind that, do you? It's got to do with the message a little bit. So we would go to my daddy's, mom and daddy's, my grandparents, on Sunday afternoon. Stay all the afternoon. And you know, I never heard some of them speak a word. We'd go. The children go out and play, and you know, but the parents hadn't seen anything say much to each other. I never understood that. My mama didn't have a lot to say, but when she said it, she meant it. My daddy didn't have much to say, but he said, sit down. I didn't ask him where. I sat down on the floor if it wasn't on the chair around. I respected him. I honored him. And it ought to be the same way with our Heavenly Father, that we honor Him in our life. Amen? All right. You don't have to say amen, but I know you agree with me. Okay? That word amen just means it's true. And, you know, I was born into the Albert family in 1941. Well, I was born into the family of God in 1958. And I've had two births. I've had a whole lot of other things too, but, you know, God loves me and He cares for me. All through life, He's cared for me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And nobody's ever cared for you like Jesus. Brother Bill loves Sister Donna, I believe. But, you know, he don't have to show it all the time. He ought to. But when you love Jesus, you ought to show it all the time. When you love one another, you ought to show it. Amen? You know what? I heard somebody say a while back, you can tell anybody you want to that you love them, but unless you show it, they're not going to believe it. God knows our heart. He knows whether we love Him or not. We're serving an awesome God. I know that. We're serving a God that's great. So let's just keep on serving Him till He comes to get us. And then when He comes to get us, let's go with Him. And when we go with Him, let's enjoy the places that He's got fixed for us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, He would have told me. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. When I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you into myself, that where I am, you may be also. See, He didn't send nobody else out there. He's not going to send anybody else out there. He came Himself. For those that have gone on, and like I said a while ago, probably all of us have got parents that have gone on to be with the Lord. And Jesus come and got them. He just needed another rose in the master's bouquet. So He come and got it. Have you ever wondered why I feel this way, really? And you may not, but I do. I feel like every time that I hear about somebody passing away, I said, you know, He gets the best for His bouquet. And they get a promotion if they're saved. If they're not saved, then I feel sorry for them. It's all in that one fact, whether we get saved or not. That's it. He died on Calvary's cross for our sin. He rose the third day that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, did we accept Him as our Savior? Sure, I'm glad that in 1958 I come into the family of God. He adopted me into the family of God. And you know what? And when a parent adopts somebody in this life, they say, I don't know if it's true, and I believe it is, if I'm not mistaken, that if you adopt somebody, you cannot say they're not yours anymore. Am I right on that? I think I am. They're yours forever. That's the way it is with Jesus. If He adopts you into the family of God and saves you, then you're His forever. Yes, I believe in eternal security. But I don't believe that you can, you know, that's number one thing that will keep you out of heaven. That is rejecting the Lord as your Savior. So, if you reject Him, then you can't go to heaven. But if you accept Him, then You are part of the family of God. He adopts you into the family of God, in other words. It's finished for that. He left perfection to come to this sin-cursed world. And then he left the fellowship of the Father also. I said that a while ago, I know. I'm probably saying some things over and over. But I just want us to get the idea, if you hadn't already got it. I see people sometimes in church, and somebody will say, the preacher will say something out of the line some way or another. He says, you'll get that after a while. Maybe a shout. I don't know. I hope he will. You'll get it after a while. Okay? Now, the Lord's good, isn't he? We need to wait at the altar. We assume that God's going to answer our prayer when we want. Wait at the altar. Sure, we need to wait at the altar, don't we? You say, well, I wait at the altar all the time. He don't answer my prayer. Well, you better check up if he don't. He'll either answer it now or later. And he does it on his time. Everything should be his time, not our time. It's his time. And we need to realize that all the time is his time. Hope you understand what I'm trying to say. You don't wait for the Spirit of God to move and then speak. Why complain if you do? Be partakers of the altar. Be ye partakers, the Bible says, of the blessing of God. And when we wait for God's answer, it's rude for somebody to ask for something and not wait for an answer. Well, if I come over and ask you for something, and I turned around and went off and didn't wait for you to give me an answer, what would you think of me? You may not like me now, but you'd like me even worse then. Wouldn't you? Just be honest with each other, okay? I'm sure that we would. Because, you know, God expects to answer our prayer, and we expect it too. But sometimes he doesn't do it when we want to. He may not do it when we like we want him to, but he does it. He may say yes, he may say no, he may say maybe so, he may say wait a while, but he answers it. Jesus is worthy, in other words, what I'm trying to say, Jesus is worthy to be King of kings and Lord of lords. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, if you will. I'll take time too, if you will. Come on, let's turn. Hebrews chapter 3, I believe it is, and yes. Says, wherefore, in chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. Amen? Now, this man was counted worthy, in other words. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, another page or two over, another chapter or two, says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. Now, this is a gift here that God the Father had to give. Right here. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name in heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. I tell you something, I'm going to get you to Do something with me, okay? Let's say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's no other name. His name is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, don't you feel better since you mentioned that name, Jesus? It's a name of all names, the name of Jesus. Neither is there any salvation in any other. And this is the only name I know that will turn his when it's spoken. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ, in other words, is the only way. Jesus Christ speaks only the truth. And Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. It's Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, my Father, your Father if you're saved, and I believe you are. By your testimonies, I believe you are. All right, there are all types of false messiahs, is it not? All types of false prophets. Oh, it's getting worse and worse all the time, isn't it? Well, you know what? I was raised up on old-fashioned preaching. I got saved on old-fashioned preaching. And people now, and even preachers that I thought would be preaching right, they're turning the back on the old-fashioned way. And they say that, you know, young people will not be saved unless you give them something different. Well, I'm telling you, it's nothing different to save. What did we just read? Huh? I don't care what nobody says about that. I'm telling you, it's the old-fashioned way. It's the old path that we need to stay in. If we don't stay in the old-fashioned path, the straight and narrow way that leads to heaven, what's going to happen? Believe you that thought. What's going to happen? There's these false prophets of wealth. We're the wealthiest people in the world anyway. We have Jesus as our Father. He owns everything. He's our Father. He supplies our every need. So what do we have to worry about? There's that false prophet or Messiah, whichever you want to say, wealth. They're not a Messiah. They're not a true Messiah. No. There's a Messiah of false prophecy, of wealth, of popularity. I can name you somebody, but I'm not going to name them. Popularity is all they talk about. Being rich is all they talk about. But I'm here to tell you, I'm rich in the Lord. I don't have much money. As far as the financial money part, he supplies my need, and he owns it all, and, you know, he is my king, he's my Father, so why would I worry about being rich? I am already rich in him, and you are too. Not only that, but there's the Messiah of good times. Yes, I love to have a good time in the Lord. This world don't give you no good time. They don't have any world good time. It's Jesus. He is not of this world. And we're not of this world. We're just strangers and pilgrims passing through this world. Amen. We've got a better home. Jesus is willing to be king. He's waiting to be king. And he's worthy to be king. Are we willing to let him be king of kings and Lord of lords? Are you willing for this king that is waiting for you and is willing to be king of your life? I hope we all are. If you hadn't already, let him do his will. My father, and remember that, my father is king. And let me say this. Good gracious. Well, it's all out early. I know you're waiting to go be with your family anyway, probably. But the king is coming. The king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me and you, if you're ready. All right. Isn't God good? In fact, he's better than that. Amen. I just noticed I have my glasses on. Some things I can see better without my glasses, and some I can see better with my glasses. I got a letter yesterday from Harmon. Is it Harmon's Eye Center now? Used to be Old Dominion. I got to have a cataract surgery on this eye. I can see out of it a little bit. This one I've already had it on, and I can see plain out of that. But my glasses just don't work sometimes like it ought to, okay? But I just noticed that I can see sometimes better without my glasses than I can with. I guess it depends on the light, and it depends on how dark the letters are, I don't know. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. How great they are. I might not have sung it like, what was his name? George Beverly Shea. I can't sing it like him. But praise God, I can sing the same verses he did in the same words. And the words is what counts anyway. You just listen. You know, people let their emotions get excited when singing's going on. It builds up the emotions. Yes, it does. And we need good singing. You didn't get it right there, but you got it while I go right back in when she was standing up here. Yes, you need that good singing. And it'll help you in this. In service. But so many people got the wrong idea. It's not the singing of it, it's the words of it. It's just like God's Word. It's God's Word. And it's true. And that's the main thing right there. Except for the one other thing. Believe the word. Amen. Let's bow our heads again. Y'all don't mind getting out a little bit earlier, would do you? Sometimes y'all might think I preach a long time. But I'm not a long-winded preacher. You might disagree with me because you may not want me to even preach as long as I do sometimes. But that's all right. You know, God knows our heart, don't he? I want to share one other thing with you while I was going to share this a while ago, but I want to share this with you, a little bit of humor, okay? And you've probably heard it read before. It said, my grandmother, who lived in the mountains of Virginia, was well known for her faith and for her lack of shyness in talking about it. She would go out on the front porch and say, praise the Lord. And her next door neighbor would shout back, there ain't no Lord. During those days, my grandmother was so poor, and so the neighbor decided to prove his point by by buying a large bag of groceries and placing it at her back door, or at her door. The next morning, grandmother went to the porch and seeing the grocer said, praise the Lord. And the neighbor stepped out from behind the tree and said, I bought those groceries and there ain't no Lord. Grandmother replied, Lord, you not only sent me food, but you made the devil pay for it. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Huh? Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? I'm just as crazy as I can be. I'm crazy for Jesus. Amen. Father, we come to you again this morning. Thank you, Lord. Being in God's house. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet service that we had today, Lord. Thank you for the singing. Thank you, Lord, for the preaching. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of God. And we pray, Lord, that your will be done in every heart and every life. Thank you for everything you do as we give the invitation this morning. Somebody might have something on their heart that they want to pray about. And, Lord, I pray that you, if I didn't give them the opportunity, maybe they wouldn't be able to pray for them. So, Lord, we want to give them the invitation that they might, if they need to, pray for that request. I pray that you'll hear an answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. What we got?
249.
249.
Just as I am.
Most everybody don't need a book for that song. Most everybody won't need a book.
Let's all stand, because if you feel like it, I know you may not feel like it. If you don't, that's okay. You don't have to, but I believe we ought to stand if we can. And if you would need to come to this old-fashioned altar here, please do so, while we sing. Dismissed him.